Hello, everyone. This is Erica Spicer Mason with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast Series. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I'm thrilled to be joined by two guests from Norton Children's Hospital in Louisville, Kentucky. We have with us Dr. Eric Martin, the Vice President of Patient Care Services and Chief Nursing Officer, and Aaron Kirk, the Director of Patient Care Services. Dr. Martin and Aaron, welcome to the podcast. Thanks so much for making time to be here today.
Thanks for having us.
Well, we're thrilled to have you. And before we get started, I was wondering if you could both share just a little bit more about yourselves and what you do at Norton Children's Hospital. Dr. Martin, maybe we can have you get us started.
Sure. As you said, I'm Eric Martin. I'm the Chief Nursing Officer for Norton Children's Hospital in Louisville, Kentucky. It's about a 300-bed acute care level one trauma organization that serves all of the states in our region. It's the only level one trauma center in our state of Kentucky. I'm also the immediate past president for the American Organization for Nursing Leadership.
Fantastic. Welcome. And Aaron, would you mind telling us a little bit about yourself as well?
Sure. I have the privilege and honor of serving here as the Director of Patient Care Services for Norton Children's Hospital. I provide leadership over a wide variety of our teams, but also get to work in some of our project work and our professional development arena. I have a true strong passion for development and mentorship. So this work really resonates true with my own passions and desires, kind of as a nursing leader.
Wonderful. Thank you, Aaron. Again, it's great to have you both here. And I'm really looking forward to digging into the topic of nursing and developing nursing leadership. I know that this is something at the top of many healthcare leaders' minds right now. So, you know, we're also seeing that across healthcare and even outside of the industry, there's really a growing recognition of the value of nurses. And then, of course, there's also a lot of opportunities that are being highlighted for the industry to better support them. So in your view, how does frontline leadership development really factor into that need? And I'd like to hear more about how it became a priority at Norton Children's. Aaron, maybe you want to get us started with this one.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, here at Norton Children's, the development of our nurses, you know, all the way from the bedside and beyond is really a real key essential to our why. We understand the value of each and every single nurse within our four walls, identifying as a leader, and the impact that has on our patient outcomes and our quality of care. Eric, you have anything you want to add to that?
Yes, absolutely. I just want to recognize, I 100% agree for the need for better support for our direct care staff. And I think this became increasingly evident for us as we were coming out of COVID. The pediatric acute care world experienced the pandemic much differently than our adult counterparts. And during a time when the adult facilities were experiencing a surge in volume and acuity, the pediatric world was actually feeling the opposite effect. Our patient volume dipped, our acuity level dipped down as well. And we actually didn't hire staff for about an 18-month period of time. And as we were coming out of that period, we saw things in the pediatric world, more specifically RSV season, come at an atypical time of year and come back with a vengeance that we had not anticipated. And so we found ourselves with a fairly high vacancy rate. We were losing experienced staff to go travel across the country for those premium jobs. And we knew that we had to do something to better support the direct care nurses. All the while, the new grads that we were hiring in and into these open positions were coming out of a clinical experience that was, to say the least, disrupted. They didn't have much, if any, time in actual hospitals during school. They were spending a lot of time in simulation labs and really did not have any hands-on care. So that caused us to have a strategic planning session with the nursing leadership team here. And we developed a two-year strategic plan that was solely focused on supporting our workforce. And we came out with three goals. One was around well-being, one was around transition to practice and professional development, and one was around staffing and scheduling practices. and the concept of a mentor and mentee program really hit two, if not all three, of those goals. So it made good sense for us to invest our time and resources into that.
Thanks, Dr. Martin. And, you know, I really appreciate how you outlined the unique challenges that children's hospitals faced during the pandemic and during the RSV season, as you put it, having had it come back with a vengeance. Some really unique challenges that frontline staff faced, and you know, that critical need for developing new nurses really sounds like it was there. And it's exciting to hear that you're directly addressing that with this leadership development program at Norton Children's. So I'm also wondering if you can both just share a little bit more about the leadership program itself and kind of its framework. And also, how are you getting staff to really engage in the program?
You know, from the beginning, we really wanted to truly focus on our why. So, who was our audience for this program, and who are we intentionally wanting to pull in to really invest and grow into them in whatever professional way they wanted to develop in the future? We know that a lot of bedside training really is invested in a nurse's clinical skills and kind of clinical proficiency, which is, you know, a very key element in providing great quality care. But we also know that being a great nurse is dependent upon a lot of other skill sets that aren't necessarily directly attributed at the bedside. So we wanted to invest in those skill sets, such as, you know, understanding the business of healthcare, professionalism, interpersonal, you know, networking and communication skills, resiliency, well-being. We wanted to really invest in a skill set of nursing leadership that is grown by growth in throughout each other and connecting stories and examples. So we wanted to make sure our audience was targeted to who we wanted that to be. So really, nurses within that first year to that 5-year range that Eric spoke to that had really a different upbringing in the beginning of their nursing career. We also wanted to be strategic in the duration of time. So 6 months has been our sweet spot to allow these nurses to really grow and invest in themselves. And then the framework, we wanted it to be balanced with adult learning strategies. So these are very busy day shift, night shift, mid shift nurses who are also moms, aunts, uncles, wives outside of here. And so we wanted to make sure the content was easy for them to learn and also connected to real-time application activities. It was important to us coming out of COVID that we married that with some in-person sessions. So Lead for Care really allowed us to do that. So they leveraged us with the technology and the research-based curriculum. And then we, on our end, were able to couple that with a mentorship pairing that really resonated on that key learning and allowed us to foster that growth and development in an in-person and a virtual way. The other thing is we had to be really strategic on our timing. So here in the pediatric world, we have waves in our volume that we anticipate and some that we don't necessarily anticipate, but we wanted to make sure that the program landed at a time when we knew our volumes weren't surging. So we wanted to make it 6 months, but we wanted to start and end them at a time that we knew they could really dedicate that learning to being successful. And then the last piece I'll note is really that support. So, you know, successful programs come with a really strong support structure. And so that has to occur from the bottom to the top. So we had, you know, executive sponsorship through Eric. I myself, as the nursing director, kind of lead this program. And then I've created a group of what we call Lead for Care captains that really are the voice and boots of the ground and ensuring that people remain engaged, supported, and really navigating the program with a little group of people behind them, as well as their mentor, to ensure that they are progressing through their own learning.
I think the only thing that I would add to that is that I think one of the keys to our success has been our approach into recruiting interested applicants. And it's been through a nomination process for both the mentor and the mentee. So That in and of itself, being nominated to participate in a program has made both of those individuals feel recognized and appreciated. We've had new graduate or newer nurses, I should say, comment that they didn't see that leader within that somebody else had identified and tapped them to participate in this program. On the flip side, a nurse with many years of experience, an expert at the bedside, felt like us recognizing that level of expertise and that wisdom that they had to share and inviting them in to be a mentor into this program really helped fill their bucket and recognize them as well. So this was all, none of it was required or mandatory training. It was all elective. And I feel like that might be a little bit of what's in the secret sauce of this program.
I think that's fantastic. You know, the approach that both of you just described sounds so intentional at every step, from the adult learning strategy to considering nurses' families and their lives outside of work and making sure they're supported. Really appreciate how you shared those details. And I think there's a lot for our audience members to take away from that approach. And so I'd love to hear about any outcomes of the program that you're really proud of. And aside from those outcomes, too, how you think it's affecting your organization, maybe more broadly?
Yeah, I'm happy to get us started with that. In the world that we live in, I think it's very important for us to articulate the investments that we make from an objective perspective. And so it was important for us to look at our turnover rates pre and post this program and really try to quantify the return on that investment. And so we were thrilled to see that 97.5% of the individuals that went through our Lead for Care program are still with us today. And we've had close to a couple of hundred nurses go through this program over the last couple of years. That return on our investment is 1,400%. And that's not something that you see every day when you invest in programs. So that was thrilling to see. On a different note, I think what has been the most rewarding for us is to see that the nurses that we are tapping into and grooming their leadership skills that are direct care nurses are the same ones that are starting to get more involved in projects or new initiatives. If you were to look at the makeup of our unit-based councils, or our nursing congress, all within our professional governance structure, the vast majority of them are graduates from our Lead for Care program. So 60% of the people that participate in this program go on to further their education, skills development, or get involved in some way.
It's a really compelling outcome, Dr. Martin, the 1400 percent ROI, still stuck on that number. So appreciate you sharing that and how the programs also really help to, you know, you're having numbers prove that folks are growing in their roles and beyond as a result of the program. That's so exciting. Erin, before we move on, is there anything else you wanted to add from your side?
Yeah, Erica, I would just like to add, you know, it was really important for us to get feedback and perspective from our participants. And so, you know, working with Lead for Care, this has really allowed us to adapt our program over time, which has been a key element to our success. We wanted it to be user-friendly. We wanted them to see the value and the investment back into these resources. And so some of the outcomes that I am proud and, you know, to see are that, you know, 98% of our participants say that they highly enjoy the hybrid model. So coupling that with the virtual learning content as well as those in-person enrichment sessions has been something that we have heard echoed across each of our cohorts. Also, 98% of them agree that the content is relevant. They can relate to the learning. They can use the mentor connection activities to really have deep dialogue and discussion with their mentor that provides insight and perspective into things that they may not necessarily talk about day to day. And then 98% of them agree that, you know, they enjoy the voluntary program. So like Eric said, we don't make this mandatory. And when you're nominated, this is an opt-in program for their participants. So timing can be everything in people's success. So making sure that it is a right time for them also was a key driver of making sure that they were able to successfully navigate through those 6 months.
Thanks so much, Erin. I really appreciate the add-ons and kind of you underscoring the importance of that voluntary component of the program and how being nominated, I'm sure, just makes nurses feel seen and appreciated. And whether it's the right time for them to participate in the program or not, I'm sure that recognition goes a long way. So I can't thank you both enough for sharing how this program's been working for you. So many leaders we know are working on retention strategies. So I think this information will be immensely helpful. But before we hop off today, is there anything else you'd like our listeners to know?
A couple of things that I think I would highlight is for our profession, I don't think it's ever been more important than it is now for us to develop direct care nurses to have these leadership skills and to really see direct care nursing as a destination point for them, not necessarily a stepping stone onto something else. We need excellent care providers that can make a difference every day in a patient's lives, and we need wisdom and experience to do that. So this program has really helped us foster that kind of environment and that approach, if you will. The other thing I would say is that going into this program, I think one of the masterful things that Erin did was really keep an open mind. And after each session, she's asking for feedback on what went well, what could be done differently. And we've remained flexible throughout this program, changing our approach, changing the blend of hybrid versus or virtual versus in person. Really just to meet them where they are at and make sure that it's easy for them to get involved, participate, and really enjoy the program.
Yeah, that flexible and iterative approach is so important. Erin, anything you'd like to close us out with here?
Yeah, I would just add that, you know, for any listeners that are interested in developing, you know, mentorship programs within their organization or maybe doing a reset or a revamp on their current mentorship program, you know, I would say step one is evaluate your why. You know, we wanted to ensure that bedside nurses were really seeing their leader within. And often for many of us, that is someone seeing that within us before we see it in ourselves. And so this program, you know, has really used that as a foundational stepping stone. And to watch these nurses blossom into really resilient, effective bedside nurse leaders has, you know, been something that's been incredible to watch. So I would say evaluate your why and start with that very, very key essential step in developing a successful program.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Erin, Dr. Martin. It's been great having you on the podcast and hearing the passion that you have behind building the nurse workforce. It's been inspirational. So appreciate you joining us today.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you.
I'd also like to thank Lead for Care as well for sponsoring this episode. You can tune into more podcasts from Becker's Healthcare by visiting our podcast page at beckershospitalreview.com.